What is up? Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Shred Show live with me, Josh Pitts. Very excited to be coming to you live as always, and excited to talk about something that I've been asked quite a bit on different podcasts. I've been asked by so many of you, our audience, and excited to chat about it today. We actually had a show planned, but unfortunately, we had to reschedule it. You got to love when you're working with people who are, their brand is much bigger than mine. It's always humbling and an honor to work with them, but sometimes they have other things that they have to go do. So I get to come to you live, just me, which I love doing. I love with the opportunity when I get to jump in front of the camera and talk about a few things that I've got from you guys. And that's what I love. And first and foremost, if you are joining us, thank you so much for joining us this morning. And of course, as always, if you're joining us live, make sure you comment hashtag shred, because you are here, you're shredding it. And if you are joining us on the replay, make sure you comment hashtag hustle, because you're out there hustling, you're getting it done, and then you're coming back and getting your knowledge, your inspiration, your motivation for the day. So real quickly as well, many people have been asking about riseandshred.io, our Rise and Shred, our daily exchange. Yes, we do have a daily exchange, an email exchange. And if you want to get that every single morning into your inbox, make sure you go to riseandshred.io. That's again, riseandshred.io. So with that being said, I want to jump into my topic for today, because like I mentioned, I've been asked this question quite a few times recently on podcasts, different podcasts I've done, and a lot of people have just been messaging me about this. Everybody knows I'm all into personal branding, building your brand, building your influence, becoming a shredfluencer, as I like to call it. And here it is real quick. Now we just got back that it looks like I might be able to add her to this. Our interview said that now she can jump on. So let me, that's what we got to love about this live, ladies and gentlemen. But we'll see if she can jump on here with us. And if she can, we definitely want to make this happen. So hold on. Let's see if we can make this happen. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. If she can, we're definitely going to bring her on. If not, again, I get to talk about this topic anyway. So we'll see if she can jump on with us and make this happen. But again, I'm going to talk about this. Doesn't look like she's going to be able to jump on. She was texting me. That's why you just ignore your phone. So I got asked recently, Josh, what is it like to be an overnight success? And what is your secret to becoming an overnight success? And ladies and gentlemen, let me answer this real quick. There's really one secret to becoming an overnight success. And that secret is, you ready? Drum roll, there is no secret. It's simple as that. Like, crazy enough, people literally think that my brand, what I'm doing, what Shred has become this overnight success. And that's just absolutely not true. There's been so much work behind the scenes that have gone on that I've done, blood, sweat, and tears put into growing a brand, to growing an audience, to having an incredibly loyal audience. All of you people, you're the ones I have to thank for this. So there is no such thing as overnight success. And if people think, especially when it comes to building a brand, people just want to know, well, how do you shortcut it? Is there a way to shortcut, you know, building a social presence to really growing my audience? No, of course there is not. You can't do that. That's just not possible. So, now she can. Guys, this is the fun thing. People are back and forth. Let's see if she can get on. This would be really cool. This is somebody that I met recently, and we've gone back and forth. And again, the first time we had to reschedule, because she actually had to go on Entertainment Tonight. Like, this is somebody whose brand, she's been a multiple TEDx speaker. And we'll see if she actually is able to jump on here in just a second. If she does, I'll add her to the, that's the cool thing about how we do this live and everything that we use. We can actually add her to the live. So we'll see. Oh my gosh, she did. She might be here with us. So hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Can you hear me? We are live and he's joining us. Hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Gene, can you hear us?
Yes. Yeah, but it's making like staticky sound, but I'm here.
Okay. Hold on just a second. Ladies and gentlemen, we do have Janine. She just joined us. So hold on. You're going to see the magic happen here live right now. So give me 2 seconds. We're going to add her here. Janine, you're joining us right in the middle of our live broadcast. I'm excited to bring you on. Wait for it. Wait for it. There she is. You can see her. There she is. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Janine Driver. And I'm excited to talk a little bit about her this morning and share. I recently met Janine at a conference at Equity Prime Mortgage. They had their summit, and I had the opportunity to talk with her, and I got to listen to her for the first time. And since then, I have just been eating up her content. She's a multiple TEDx speaker. She has spoken many, many times at different TEDx events, and some of her videos have millions of views, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, this she has been on news, different news outlets. Like I mentioned, was on Entertainment Tonight recently. There's so many things that Janine has done in her life, and it's just it's humbling and an honor to have her join me this morning. And so thank you so much, Janine, for taking a few minutes and jumping on with me this morning.
Yeah, I'm psyched to be here.
So I've got to talk to you about this, because this is one episode that one of your TEDx talks that you talk about decoding the body language of a murderer. And you talk about the Chris Watts case. And I was just absolutely like enthralled with this. Like I could not, when I saw you, first and foremost, when I first saw you speak it last week, you had the whole room in an emotional state. Like, I'm not a very emotional person, but you shared so many stories, and the way that you just presented and the way that you, this enthusiasm, this passion that you share with the room is just infectious. It's so cool. And you talk about body language. You talked a lot about body language, but decoding the body language of a murderer. So talk a little bit about why is that so intriguing to you? Again, you've used it with investigating murders, different things throughout your life and presenting about it. How did you get into this, and why has it been such a big thing for you?
So, can you hear me, Josh?
Yeah, I got you. Yep.
So when I was a little kid, I was about 6 years old. We're going to start this at a real down point, and I'm going to take it up from here. But I was molested as a little kid with a next door neighbor, a trusted family friend. This neighbor, he was in his late 20s, and without going into too many details, not a lot happened. A little bit happened, and then my mom called my name for dinner. And this guy told me, come back after dinner, the game gets better. And but after dinner, I told my mother everything. She was giving myself a bath along with my middle sister, Carrie. And my mother's like, what'd you do today? And I told her about the fun game Chucky Barber was trying to play with me that I didn't find fun. And little did I know, my mom did the right stuff, right? She called the police. They brought over a police officer. They brought over a nurse. I got those cool crayons. I was a poor kid. My dad was an auto mechanic fixing fire trucks. My mom was a stay-at-home mom at the time, later became a nurse. And so I got a box of crayons with the little pencil sharpener thing at the end. So I actually thought it was pretty cool that I got this really cool gift. And kids are interesting. When they lie and they draw a picture, the picture doesn't match their story. So I talked about this white shed, and that when you went in the shed, on the left was a chair, and he had undressed me and sat me on his lap, and I described his shirt, and all the details I verbally described matched what I drew in the picture. And so the police and the therapist knew immediately, evidently, that I was telling the truth, because my picture, when the police knocked on this guy's door, my picture matched what he was wearing, the clothes. They went out to the shed. There was a chair in the shed, the whole nine yards. So this happens to me, and I begin to second guess, even at the young age of six, like, how do you trust people? This was a trusted friend. You know, I didn't really know the word trust, but something happened. Well, what happens then is 10 years later, I go to pick up my check at a Mr. Donuts. I worked at a donut shop, and the guy had a cocaine problem, and I used to see him do cocaine. I was about 15 and a half, 16, and I used to see him do cocaine, and my family and I were going on a camping trip, and I'm like, all I could picture is the police raiding this guy, and I don't get paid my 2 weeks of pay. So I hop on my bike. It's a rainy afternoon, a rainy morning at 5:15, and hop on my bike, drive down there. My parents are sound asleep. They don't even know I've left the house. I get the check. And for me, it was like crossing the finish line. You know, I'm like, I got my check. I'm so stubborn and determined, even as a young kid. And guess what happens? On the way back home, a guy tries to kidnap me and throw me in the trunk of his car.
Oh my gosh.
And years later, when I ended up in law enforcement, working for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms, ATF, doing firearms trafficking, I later find out that patterns are created. And when a woman is molested or raped, or a boy is molested or raped, you are twice as likely to have that happen to you again. And there's some type of signal, I guess, that people have been victimized before, we send out. And many people I've met throughout my years of life have had trauma, physical trauma in this way, over and over and over again. And all I knew is when this guy tried to kidnap me and I got away, thanks to Adam Walsh. Do you remember Adam? You're probably too young.
No, I remember Adam Walsh, of course.
So little Adam Walsh was kidnapped out of a Sears. And his mother went to go look at a lamp at a different area of Sears. She left her son playing video games along with some teenagers, but he was a little boy. And Adam Walsh was kidnapped out in the parking lot. What happened was the teenagers started getting into a fight. And a young adult, like a teen that worked at Sears, came over to break up the fight and said to these teenagers, everybody out of the store, and kicked them out in the parking lot. Well, first this person asked, hey, are any of your parents here? But Adam Walsh was supposedly shy and pretty quiet, and evidently he didn't speak up. So he got pushed out into the crowd outside of Sears in the parking lot. And many people don't know this. This is where Adam Walsh was kidnapped. And then, you know, they found him beheaded. It was really a terrible story. And this happened just about a year or two before this guy tries to kidnap me. And I remember the parents being on, later John Walsh, you know, America's Most Wanted.
Yep.
So John Walsh and was on TV all the time talking about his son. And they didn't find him at first. Then they found the head. They didn't find the torso. Like, terrible stuff. And I remember on the bike, when this guy was trying to kidnap me 15 and a half, saying to my little head, he's going to win. Bike versus car. He doesn't care if he hits me and throws me in the trunk of his car. He doesn't care if my ribs are broken. He just cares about getting me, and my parents are going to never know what happened. And so in my tiny little strategic brain, I knew I couldn't drive the 2.8 miles back home on my bike, but I know there's a bank called Bay Bank. There's a Bay Bank right there, like two blocks away. I could see it. All I have to do is beat him to Bay Bank. And if he gets me at Bay Bank, maybe, just maybe, there'll be a camera that catches him and my parents will at least know who took me. And so my goal was just to get to Bay Bank, you know, and I say that in my life, it's like, I can't change the world today. But can I focus on, you know, getting one more block closer? I always say 1% better every day. Can I go one block more today? And so for me, I think something tricked in my brain that I knew I would go into law enforcement one way or another. Not so much about putting bad guys in jail, but more about reading people. And I saw when that guy tried to kidnap me and I looked at him, I felt immediately, maybe it felt like this, Josh, immediately he's danger. You know, he just said, you know, hey kid, you know, let's throw your bike in the trunk of my car and I'll give you a ride home. It's raining out. And I looked. And that gift of, you know, if you were religious or spiritual, they call it the gift of discernment. My gift of discernment just like went wildfire. And then that sent me on a path to decoding human behavior and wow. Ultimately influencing it. And so it's so much more than body language, as you might imagine. As you know, you saw.
I was going to say there's so much more than body language. And actually, so in one of your TEDx talks, you actually speak about ESL. And most people have their, you know what ESL stands for. But ESL, the way you break it down, is eye flashes and then shrugging of shoulders and then lips. Like there's little things in the eyes, the shrug of the shoulders and lips. Like they can tell everything. And you break down this Chris Watts, like you break down his interviews. And it is so cool to watch, like, you kind of like analyze this, and somebody like yourself who has spent years, I mean, just dedicating their life to this art. And I would truly, and like you said, almost a religion thing. You can really, it's so fun to watch you analyze people. And you did it to me while we were at this event. Like you, just even the way I sat my power pose, yeah. Like you kind of like analyzed me and like you told me like, oh yes, this is the way you should see. This is the way you should be. It was so cool to see that the little things that we do that we don't even think about in our lives, just the shrugging of shoulders, our eyes, and how the fact that you can read people, and we can too. And you taught some ways of like, hey, you can read people. And why I even bring this up is because each and every one of us, depending on what we do for a living, we can actually use body language to our favor. And that's something that you kind of talk about as well. I don't want to say to manipulate people in any way, but we can just, there's little tells.
it can influence the outcome of a conversation or negotiation. And, you know, people will say that word manipulation. You know, we're always manipulating any situation. I prefer the word influencing.
Ooh, love and, it. You know, me too.
No one, it's not hypnosis. It's you're not going to make someone do something they're not going to want to do. It's you being the best version of you. And I always say you're perfect exactly as you are. It's sometimes we don't know the signals we're sending off because we have what are called our baseline behaviors, our comforting behaviors. And so you sit or you stand in a way that you don't realize is sending a signal that might not be congruent with who you are inside. Hmm. And if who you are inside is nervous and insecure, how can you fake it? I have a son, Angus, he's 14. He's suffering right now with massive anxiety. I'm in my office right now. I'm laying on a beanbag and I got your text message. Like I've been up, I'm on 4 hours sleep. Oh. Our dog died. We had to put our dog down last week because Elsie, she's only 9, but she has cancer. She had cancer throughout her whole body. My son, Angus, this is his dog. He got it 5. So Angus, around 5 or 6. So Angus wanted to be there when she was euthanized. And this has caused massive emotional trauma for him. So wow. He didn't go to school yesterday because he fell behind in homework last week, 4 days worth of homework. He missed 4 days last week, didn't go to school yesterday, suffering with massive anxiety. And this is something we've never dealt with before with him. He's just grieving. And so we met with the principal of his school this morning. And the reason I tell you this, so I met with the principal of the school and the therapist and myself and Angus, who would kill me if I knew I was telling you guys about this. He's so incredibly private. But the reason I tell you this is in this meeting, while the principal's talking and comforting Angus, he's afraid to let the teachers down. And the teacher, while she's talking to him, I saw Angus leak sadness on his face. And as soon as he leaked sadness, here's my little 14-year-old kid who has learning differences. He has dyslexia, verbal apraxia. He's got a sensory integration issues. He's got all these like learning differences. Most people will say learning disabilities. And Angus leaked sadness on his face. And 10 seconds later, do you know what he did, Josh?
What?
Not even like 3 seconds. He steepled. You know, we
really?
See
yep, yep.
That steepling pose. So yep. This is Oprah Winfrey does this. Ellen DeGeneres does this. Beyonce does this. Donald Trump does this. When we steeple people, we intimidate people. So here, Angus at 14, he's just getting it through osmosis for hearing me talk about it. Leak sadness and immediately turns from sadness to power in a conversation with the principal of the school. That's the power of body language. It's like she saw the sadness, I'm sure. But he's saying, like, I'm showing up. I'm going to do the best that I can. And out came this. I gave him a big hug afterwards. I go, I saw your steeple, buddy. And he goes, you did? And the deal is when you begin to think I'm doing body language that's confident, you begin to have a conversation with your brain. We always knew the brain can influence the body, but we now know that scientifically your body can also influence your brain. So when Angus began to steeple right there in the moment, I go, he's going to pull himself out of this.
That's kind of got to be like a proud mom moment where you're like, holy cow, everything I'm talking about, he actually did it. That's so great. That's kind of cool, right?
Yeah, it was. I mean, we're in a therapy session with the principal and I'm like, well, that's my boy. And I wanted to like, you know,
well, especially when he's going through such. Yeah, especially when he's going through such an emotional time too. Like clearly it's sinking in the things that you talk about, the things that you teach. Like he's clearly like that for me, that would be one of those moments like, oh my gosh, everything that I talk about all the time. Like he's listening and he's utilizing this, but that's what I'm talking about. And I love the fact that you use the word influence instead of manipulation, because I talk about influence. I mean, we have shredfluencers because the word influence really talks about the power to change somebody's mind or their actions. Yeah. And that's just it. It's not manipulation. Manipulation is such a negative word, but the influence, like, and you are such an influential, you're this powerhouse speaker. You have such an influence yourself, and learning these little tactics that you talk about at the Body Language Institute, it to me, it was such an eye opener. Cause then I started going back and not only thinking about the body language of others, but what is my body language telling other people too, in situations of negotiation or situations of whatever I'm doing. And it's such a cool thing to think about. And again, something that you talk about so frequently. Is there one thing, I know we don't have a ton of time with you this morning, and again, I'm so very grateful that you had a few minutes to jump on with us. Is there one thing that when it comes to like tells, or for all those people, we have entrepreneurs, we have mortgage professionals, real estate professionals. Is there one thing that when it comes to body language that people should look for or people really should stay away from when it comes to like, oh, like never do this or hey, you should watch for this when it comes to body language?
You know, I'm going to give you two things.
Perfect.
One is making sure you keep your center zones open. So I call your neck dimple, your belly button, and that lower half of your body. A lot of people will sit with folded hands or they'll hide, put their hands in their pockets. Pay attention to trying to keep your center zones open and let us see your hands, because when you hide your hands, you send the message you need reassurance.
Huh.
That's number one. Number two, I was just in a meeting with an executive from a big client of mine, Comcast, NBC Universal. And it wasn't even a meeting. I met this guy. He's a senior VP, super high up, at an event. He came up. He goes, this is the second time I've seen you. I came back. I brought seven people with me to see you this time because I've been using your techniques and it's helped me negotiate better. And he's helped close deals for America's Got Talent, the Kelly Clarkson Show. Are you still there?
Oh, I lost your video. I can hear you, but I can't see you.
Yeah, hold on. I lost your video there. Okay.
Oh, there she is.
Now you're back. So like, American Ninja Warrior. So I asked this guy, I go, hey, are you sticking around or before you go back to California? We're in Philly where Comcast is located. He goes, no, I'm here tomorrow. I go, can I treat you for breakfast? So at breakfast, I have a new belief in 2020. And so 2020, and everyone keeps saying clear vision 2020. So my belief is to be interested instead of interesting. But I talk a lot. So I'm at this breakfast with this big executive that I like just as a human being. And guess what? He does this tell that I'm going to tell your audience right now. He scratches his face with his index finger. So everyone scratch your face or your nose with your index finger. Give what this feels like. Powerful people do this when they don't want you to know they're uncomfortable. So this is often done by powerful people when they don't want you. Yeah, not a problem. I'll get that to you. Yeah, the check is in the mail. Yeah, come here. No, you're definitely the mortgage company I want to work with. Yeah, no, your numbers are great. I like it. And so powerful people don't want you to know that they're pacifying. And a pacifier is anytime a piece of our body touches another piece of our body.
Huh.
And the higher the pacifier, the more stress and anxiety. So powerful people do this with their index finger scratching their face or their nose. And in this moment, when this guy, this big executive did this at breakfast, I said, Janine, stop talking, be interested instead of interesting. I stopped talking immediately. He then spoke for 45 minutes and I just kept asking questions, no why questions, say bye to why, ask what and how questions. And then what happened? And then how did you notice that? And how did you end up there? How did you end up on, you know, blah, this game show? How did you win the big prize? And just got him talking. And that's where the magic is. So it's be interested instead of interesting. Notice pacifiers. Anytime someone rubs their leg, it's a low pacifier, like Britney Spears when she said to Matt Lauer, Matt Lauer goes, pregnant and divorcing? And Britney goes, no, my marriage is great, and rubs her legs. 2 weeks later, she files for divorce.
Wow.
All the way up, we saw the same thing with the CEO of United, with the United debacle, where they ripped that doctor off the airplane and smashed his face open a couple years ago. Same thing, pacifying his leg on television. So the higher the pacifier, the more stress and anxiety. The closer we get to our brain and our head, the more stress.
Huh. There you go. Guys, we can't give you any better tips than that from Janine this morning. That was brilliant. I cannot thank you enough for coming and sharing those this morning. Guys, one of my favorite things that you talked about, and you just mentioned it here, be interested, not interesting. It's not all about you, ladies and gentlemen. It's about them. And again, with these little things, Janine, if people want to get in touch with you, I mean, they can go search you on YouTube. Again, if you haven't, you definitely need to, because again, she has multiple TEDx talks, so many different pieces of great things like this. But if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they reach out to you if they want to learn more about the body language? What?
Janine driver.com.
There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, that simple. Janine, thank you so much. I cannot thank you enough for joining us for a few minutes this morning. Very grateful to have you on the show. And thanks so much for all you shared.
Thank you.
So with that, guys, we want, as always, we're so very grateful for you being here. We appreciate you. We love you. Make sure you go out, you show up, you hustle, you repeat every day. See you guys.